Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise God indeed. Good to see y'all this evening. I hope y'all having a great week. What a beautiful, beautiful day the Lord's given us. I tell you, love this time of year. If you would, we're all going to stay. If you stand, if you can, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. I want to ask if anyone has a spoken prayer request tonight. Anyone on my right side? Anyone on my left side with a spoken prayer request or in the congregation? I don't want to miss. If you have an unspoken prayer request, just show by the raising of your hand. I know the Lord knows those that I'm bringing forth. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you tonight. Dear Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day you've given us. Dear Lord, for this opportunity we have to gather in your house and in your name. Dear Lord, as we open this service, dear Lord, we just pray that we'll be in one mind and one accord, dear Lord, ready to worship and praise you, but most of all, dear Lord, ready to receive your word. Dear Lord, as we come together again, dear Lord, we just want to lift you up. We want to honor you. We want to praise you. Lord, we just want to give you all the glory. Dear Lord, you've heard those spoken prayer requests and the unspoken. Dear Lord, you know those, the depths of our hearts, dear Lord. And for each and everyone watching online, if they have a prayer need, Lord, we know there are those that are home that are sick, those that are going through therapy, those that are suffering, those that aren't able to be with us tonight for whatever reason, dear Lord. And we pray for each and every one. Lord, we do place it in your hands, dear Lord, and we thank you so much. Lord, we just praise you, dear Lord. We thank you for answering prayers, dear Lord. We thank you for your guidance. We thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. Lord, I just want to worship you tonight. We just want to lift you up and honor you. Dear Lord, we just praise you, dear Lord, and we just give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Praise the Lord. We're going to do Victory in Jesus tonight, page 120. But as, you know, I know I sing it a lot, or I ask for us to sing it a lot, and I sing it a lot to me personally. Just got a great praise report every time the last 2 days with Dad in rehab. Oh, they actually had him sit up a little bit. They said about 30 seconds. He's able to try to grasp the cup, to try to drink out of, and see an improvement constantly. Just want to give God the glory because, you know, it's just 2 weeks ago, 2 Wednesday nights ago, they had just taken him to the hospital. So we just want to lift him up. And I know there are a lot of other praise reports. Anybody else got one? I don't want to miss anybody while I'm speaking it this evening. But that's why there's victory in the name of Jesus. And that's where my heart is. Praise the Lord. Victory in Jesus. Everybody sing tonight. Just worship the Lord.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning.
seated if you can. We're going to go ahead and prepare to take up the evening offering. I want to just bring back another announcement that we had this last weekend, and it says if anyone has any new or used envelopes that they'd like to donate for Christmas cards or for this year, then please bring them in this next 2 Sundays to Miss Jennifer. That'll be this Sunday and the next. And they can be any color. Perfect. And also, don't forget our shoe boxes. The stuff's really starting to come in now, and we thank y'all that's already given. If you'd like to help with postage, it's $10. You can put it in with your tithe envelope. And also, if you'd like to bring something to, or a couple of people have already picked up some shoe boxes, they want to do their own. It'll be Wednesday, November 16th. And that's like just going fast, praise God. And I know Ms. Jenner's been announcing the Christmas presentation they're going to do. And she had a meeting Sunday. But if you'd like to help, please just let her know too. For the little ones and for the, you know, the adults she has places to. Brother Bitsy, would you ask the Lord to bless our evening offering?
Praise the Lord. Each time.
Oh, I want to take this opportunity to praise the Lord. I was sick last Wednesday night, as y'all know, and I was just having really bad, severe headaches, and I just prayed and prayed, and Tommy was having issues with dizziness. Brandon's having issues with his back. So I'm like, what in the world? What in the world is going on? But we just prayed. Me and Tommy just prayed one night so hard. And, you know, my headaches left. His dizziness left. He was dizzy just to lay down. He was dizzy to stand up. And it's just gone. He said he hadn't had any more problems with it. Brandon's still struggling. But I'm praising the Lord. Because he's done two miracles, he'll do another one. And we're just waiting on that to be completed because, you know, I testified a long time ago, God's going to heal Brandon's back. And he's still struggling, but I'm still believing it. We're all believing it. And like I said, God is a miracle God, and he can do anything.
Just suppose God searched through heaven. Mount Calvary.
Test 1, 2.
You know, one of my favorite souls on TV, I'm not a big TV person, unless it's sports, okay, is Forged in Fire. Anybody saw that show? Forged in Fire. And what I like about that show is you can really compare it to a Christian life. And what I mean by that is this. You can take two pieces of nothing, and you can get it hot enough that you can forge it together to make one something. You can take something that was really ugly, and you can turn it into something really beautiful. But it takes heat. Heat. It has to get hot enough to be able to forge, mold, and make it just like Jesus does with us, what he wants you to be. But that's not enough to heat it up to temperature. It's got to be the right temperature. But here's the best part. Then all of a sudden they quench it. They quench it and they make it hard. You see what I'm saying? And I love that show. And I think about that a lot of time. I said, you know what? I said, this show will preach. Believe it or not, this show will preach. I may start 2 or 3 times. I don't know yet. Y'all sing this song with me. Y'all get up, shake hands if you want to. Clap your hands. Here we go. Well, let's all go down to the river. There's a man walking on the water. Come along with me, for I want to see this man walking on the water. He can raise the dead from the grave, change the water and turn it into wine. He can make the lame walk, and he can make the dumb talk, and open up the eyes of the blind. Let's all go down to the river. There's a man walking on the water. Come along with me, for I want to see this man walking on the water. Jesus is the man at the river. He is washing people's sins away. He can save your soul if you give him control. Be ready for that judgment day. Let's all go down to the river. There's a man walking on the water. Come along with me, for I want to see this man walking on the water. Let's all go down to the river. There's a man walking on the water. Come along with me, for I want to see this man walking on the water. This man walking on the water.
Everybody, good to be in the house of the Lord. Man, God is so gracious, so good. I'd never thank him enough for all that he is. Man, don't know in your circle if you're hearing any grumbling or complaining or moaning and groaning or anxiety or fear or unknown. There's a lot of people wondering about the situation of the world. But I'm glad I know this is just a temporary place. How about you? If it don't get no better, I'm going to a better place. Amen. That is the place that the Lord Jesus Christ has. I'm going to go back to an old, old song tonight. Because I'm an old, old.
Real houses in a land I may not own. Many riches the unknown. A little person in this world I may be. I can't keep up with the style, but I know I'm God's own child. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. I claim Jesus first of all. He will answer when I call, and I know I'll have a soul. I'm set free.
God's own child by birth, highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. Others live on wealth and pride, I'm just poor but satisfied. Great Jehovah owns this world, don't you see? Underneath his loving wing, just as happy as a king. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. I claim Jesus first of all, he will answer when I call, and I know I'll have a soul, sunset free. I am God's own child by birth, highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. Will others live on wealth and pride? I'm just poor but satisfied. Great Jehovah owns this world, don't you see? Underneath his loving wing, I'm as happy as a king. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. I claim Jesus first of all, he will answer when I come, and I know I'll have a soul, sunset free. I am God's own child by birth, highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough. Such a good God, amen. If you love him, give him a hand clap of praise tonight. Whoa. So good to see each and every one of you. To have your Bibles tonight for just a little while, I want to go to the book of 1 Corinthians. And we will also be reading some other scripture, but that's where we want to take our message text tonight. From the 10th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. And we certainly hope you all are having a wonderful, wonderful week. In the 10th chapter, verses number 12 and 13, again from the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul's writing to the church there at Corinth. Chapter 10, verse number 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And he follows that up with, there hath no temptation, everybody say no temptation, taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Say that with me. God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, for your holy word. God, we're thankful for your power, for your anointing, for your compassion and your love, your mercy and grace. Thank you for this day and this opportunity to gather together tonight. For those who are here, Lord, for those who may be viewing by live stream. Father, I pray that you would reach out to each and every need tonight. Those who are sick, those who are afflicted, God, those who are down and out, and especially those who are lost. Father, I pray that you would bring them, God, to an altar of repentance. God, I pray that you would prick their heart and their soul. Asking you now humbly, God, just to anoint this vessel, bless these lips of clay, God, and anoint them to speak what you would have us to hear tonight, that we'll be submissive and obedient to your will and to your word, and we'll give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. If I had a message text tonight, it would simply be, God will make a way. God will make a way. We have an entire Bible that tells us time and time and time again that God has, in fact, made a way, even when there seemeth no way. I often think the reason that God does that is because he wants to get the honor and glory. The Bible tells me in the very beginning that God is a jealous God, and we are to serve and honor no other God but him. So he wants to get the praise, he wants to get the honor, and he wants to get the glory. And it seems like when things are impossible with man, when situations arise that people just can't seem to find an answer to, when they finally turn their faith loose to God and put it in God's hands and release it to the Lord, then God makes a way. So the Apostle Paul here is bringing to remembrance to the church at Corinth that God is able, that God will make a way. If whatever you're going through, if there's any doubts in your mind, you have the Bible, you have the Word of God to assure you that God is able, even to do what is impossible with man. But he touches on one thing here that I want to get to just a little bit later in this message, if I might, but I want to go back and just kind of praise the Lord a little bit for his majesty, for his greatness, for his miracle-performing ability. We always go all the way back to the book of Genesis, and we find time and time again the Bible characters. I've often said, and wouldn't it be wonderful if we were able to do that, to bring some of the Bible characters back and have them give a testimony. Can you imagine hearing Moses testify? Can you imagine hearing Abraham, the friend of God, talking about all the exploits and all the things that God brought him through and blessed him with a son, even in their old age, and gave him, blessed his seed to be as numerous as the sand of the sea. And Moses, how he took him from shepherding on the backside of the 40 spoke to him through a burning bush and caused and chosen him to go down back down to Egypt to tell Pharaoh to let the children of Israel go. And God made a way and sent all the plagues and accompanied Moses and the children of Israel through every step of the way through the wilderness. And so many times we want to dwell on the wilderness, but understand God was with them every single step. Somebody needs to understand that tonight. You may be walking through a wilderness. You may be walking through a slow time or a time in your life when it's seemingly that God's not really listening to you. But even in the wilderness, God is walking with you step by step. Can you imagine? I would probably just have to turn the microphone over to Moses and let him testify. And it really, the subject matter would be God can make a way. And not only God can make a way, but God will make a way. As he handed the reins over to Joshua. And God was with Joshua just as he was with Moses. And when they came to the first issue was the walls of Jericho, God spoke to him and said, "See, I've given you this city," even when the walls were still around it. So God let Joshua know that what he had done for Moses, he would do for him. And he gave him the directions, and how many of us know and realize in Bible readers that the walls of Jericho did in fact fall a flat so that the children of Israel could march right in. And what a testimony that would be if Joshua was able to tell us that God will make a way even when it looks impossible. The prophets, David and Goliath, Samson, and how that God made a way through him. We go all the way down to Gideon's army. We go all the way through to the Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. God made a way even in the fire. We often say that he didn't keep them out of the fire. And you know, there's a reason we need to understand that. Because sometimes God doesn't keep us out of the fire, but praise God, he keeps us through the fire, doesn't he? Amen. And many, many times God made a way for the little woman that was going to make a cake for her and her son, and then it was going to die because there was a famine in the land, but God sent a prophet by. You know the story. She made the cake for him first. Every time she went back to the meal barrel, there was just enough to make another little meal for her and her son. It didn't run out. God can make a way, and God will make a way. So all of those wonderful times that we read, and we shout and praise God for the fact that we know that God can make a way. But I want you to pay particular attention to what the Scripture says here as the Apostle Paul is bringing this message to the church at Corinth. Words mean something, and the text means something. To really get it in its entirety, you probably need to go back and read the full 10th chapter of the book of Corinthians. But he's telling them and talking about, make sure. He said, when you thinketh you stand, take heed lest you fall. To me, that tells me that don't ever take your eyes off of God. Through whatever scenario, whatever problem, whatever issue, always focus on the fact that God will make a way. When you don't see it, I don't have God come down and speak to me and say, "How you want to do this?" Brother Jim, he's never conferred with me and asked me, "How you want me to work this out?" Because if I gave him my opinion and my input, it probably wouldn't work. it would have a lot of me in it and a lot of wants that I want, but he knows how to make a way. In fact, he will make a way. So he doesn't need my input, doesn't need my opinion, but he does need my faith to believe in him that God is able to do that. So Paul is encouraging the church here, and the reason he's encouraging the church is because there were some things that were kind of, kind of creeping into the saints. And what it was an adversary. How many knows and realizes just as there is a God, there is an adversary? Got any believers in that? To believe and know that there is an adversary. There is an evil, and that evil comes from Satan himself. And the adversary is trying to discount everything that God does. He's trying to destroy your faith. He's trying to cripple your victory, take your joy away, and cause stumbling blocks in everything that we do. So he's constantly on the job and come against it. And what he normally attacks is our flesh. So the Apostle Paul begins to talk about a particular word here in the subject matter, and it's called temptation. Temptation. Now we know that God split the Red Sea. We know that God rained fire and brimstone down on Sodom and Gomorrah. If you're a Bible reader, you believe that. You believe that God rained manna down for the children of Israel. The walls of Jericho, we understand. We talked about it. They fell flat. God is able and will do and will make a way. But I want to read some scripture to you concerning temptation. Paul, as he began to tell the church, beware, be on your guard, be on the lookout for temptation, because surely it will come. Not if it will come, but when it will come. But I want you to know that you can be prepared for temptation, just as you can prepare for any other situation in the world. I know that sometimes we're taken back, we're taken by surprise, things happen. Emergencies happen, accidents happen, and my daddy used to say, son, that's the reason they don't call them mean twos. Because you didn't mean to. It was an accident. And accidents happen. But in the subject matter of temptation, the Apostle Paul is telling them that you can somewhat be prepared for it, and there's things that you can do with the help of God. What is it? I can't do anything but through Christ. All things are possible. Amen. God gives us that ability. Amen. And he performs miracles if we believe and have faith in him. So I want you to, we want to go back over verse 13. He says, first of all, and this is quite a statement because I think it still applies to us today. There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. What I glean from that is, it has happened before. And I'll even break it down a little bit more. What wiles the devil has used in the past, he's using again today. Why? Because they work. Another thing, because he doesn't give up. So temptation is one of those things that he can come against us. And you know what he's doing? He's not really tempting the spirit. He's tempting the flesh. And this is what the church at Corinth was having the biggest problem with. You gotta understand, that wasn't an old established church. They hadn't been serving the Lord for 40 years or more. They were new converts. They were used to the Jewish law, the Mosaic law, and the statutes and the precepts of all of that. And you know, Jesus didn't come to do away with them, by the way, but he came to fulfill them and to let them know that you can't live by the law alone because there is not enough holiness or righteousness in you. It takes the holiness and righteousness through the Spirit of God to be able to be saved by grace and to fill with his Spirit in order to walk that straight and narrow way that the Lord has prepared for us. So you're going to be tempted. Temptation is going to come at you in a number of different ways. But you can be prepared for it. One place he talks about the full armor. Go with the armor, the shield of faith, and all of those wonderful things. The helmet of salvation. The breastplate of righteousness. Your feet shod with the gospel of Christ. And knowing those things. But there's something else that we can also do. So he says, no temptation has taken you but such as common to man. But then he follows that up. But he says, God is faithful. Turn to your neighbor, to your spouse, somebody. God is faithful.
You know what that means? God is faithful. God can do, and He will make a way. He can make a way, but He will make a way in whatever situation arises in your life. Whenever you need Him, if you can call on Him, put faith in Him, God will make a way. We don't have to try to make the way ourselves. We just have to believe in God, and He will make a way. And that could apply to a number of different things in our life. But God is faithful. And then He says, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. Sometimes we get that mixed up and say, well, God's not going to put more on me than I'm able to bear. But He says, I won't suffer you to be tempted more than you are able. You know, we're human. And sometimes we confess, well, I'm not able to do that. But in reality, you are. Sometimes it's the thing of effort. Sometimes it's the thing of lack of faith. Sometimes it's just that human factor. Well, it's just too difficult. Or it's just too hard. But how many has ever heard the saying, if you put your mind to it? Somebody explain what that means. If you put your mind to it, then your body's going to follow suit, I guess. Because it'd be very difficult to do something if your mind say, I ain't playing. Body, you just go ahead and do it. What would the body stumble around? Wouldn't be able to accomplish anything. But you put your mind to it. My daddy say that time and time again. Son, put your mind to it. I'm thinking, daddy, it ain't my mind. It's my body that want to do it. But your body's not going to do it unless your mind is controlling it to do that. So he says, not going to suffer, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. So God recognizes the ability in us more so than we sometimes can understand the ability that we have. Sometimes our ability is stronger than we give ourselves credit for. Sometimes our faith is stronger than we give it credit for. Faith to believe that God can do all things. And then he says, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape. Now, if your Bible has a period there, please raise your hand. Is it like mine? Does it have a comma? What does it say? That ye may be able to bear it. He didn't say he would make a way to escape, period. He didn't say he would make the temptation go away. He said, I will make you able to bear it. One definition or one interpretation says, I will make you able to endure it. This is where I need Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because I just said it a while ago. He didn't keep them out of the fire. He could have. Remember, what a better and greater miracle and testimony it was when they came out of the fire on the other side. Not even scorched, not even burned at all. He didn't keep them out of the fire, but he kept them through it. He will give us the ability to bear the temptation. So that lets me understand and know that there's going to have to be something done on our part. Not talking works here. Not talking that we deserve it or that we're good enough. I'm not talking that. I'm just talking about preparation so that God will give us the ability to endure or to bear the temptation. Now, if you're bearing something, that means seemingly you're carrying something. This doesn't sound real good, does it? That we're going to bear temptation or we're going to endure temptation. That's the world. That's the promise of the world. Ever since the fall of man, of Adam, we know that there's things in this world that's going to be hard, things that's going to be difficult, things that's going to be hard to carry, and there's going to be temptation in the world. And I want to remind you of something. And before I do that, I want to go back in history just a little bit when my daddy owned the grocery store. My daddy had a philosophy about the people that worked for him. Most of Penny and I were talking about this just, a week or two ago, about how many young men came up and worked at daddy's store for a little while. Did you work some of it? I think you did. And the Newman boys and Thomas himself and Clarence Weaver and Lord have mercy, I can name Tim and
and Marlon Tent, some cousins, and of course me and my brother Jeff South, Chuck Butler, Barry Golden, the pastor at Grace. They used to call it the farm system for Big Buy. That's what they called it, because a lot of people that would work part time would go on to take a full time job out there. But then he had a philosophy, and back then we had what we call the bottle house. That's when you returned your bottles. Like if you're going to buy a six pack of Coke, you brought your six pack of empty bottles, or you'd get charged a deposit on them. And the bottles are getting a big mess. And that was, of all the jobs that were out there around the store, I guess cleaning up the bottle house and separating all those things was probably the dirtiest and the most avoided of all. My daddy would put his apron on, and he would get out there in the bottle house, and he would show whoever it was, this is the way we do it. We put the Coke products in the products and this and that and the other. We straighten them out. We pick them up and, you know, blah, blah, blah. That's the way we do it. And he wouldn't just tell them, but he would go out there and show them exactly how they do it. So that's what his teaching was hands-on. And I want to share something with you. Jesus has not asked us to do anything or to suffer through anything that he himself has not already suffered. In fact, probably suffered more than you and I will ever suffer. But through that temptation, he was able to endure it. He was able to bear it. And here's the thing about it. Not after the temptation came. Stay with me just a little. But before the temptation. If we are able to bear or go through or endure the temptation before it ever gets to us, that's what the Apostle Paul was talking about. That God will supply you. God will make a way for you. Not to take the temptation away from you, not to put a shield around you where you won't ever be tempted, but I'll give you power to endure it, or what he said, power to bear it, that ye may be able to bear it. So many times, Lord, take this away. Lord, take this problem away. Take this out of the way. But the thing about it, he has given us power to bear it, power to endure it. I want to take you back to the book of Matthew. In Matthew, the 4th chapter. I'm not going to read it in its entirety, but I want to remind you of something. You remember when Jesus was baptized of John? And immediately after the baptism, you remember that the Spirit, which is synonymous with God, led him into the wilderness. You know, I remember when the Lord saved me, and he didn't lead me into the wilderness immediately after he saved me. It was like I was on cloud nine. I mean, I was ecstatic. I was happy. I could sleep at night. See, before I really got saved, I used to kind of sleep with one eye closed, one eye open, you know, because I was afraid the Lord would call me. I wasn't ready to go. But, boy, there was such a freedom when I accepted Jesus Christ into my life. And he saved me, and I could sleep good. And boy, just the most restful thing. And I was so happy that the Lord had done that. But here we find that Jesus, when he was baptized, as an example for us, that immediately, the Bible says, he was led into the wilderness. In verse number 1 of the 4th chapter. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. It wasn't rest and relaxation. It was a time of strength. It was a time of putting his faith in God the Father, putting his faith in the power that was within him. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered, or hungry. When the flesh became very weak, the tempter showed up. But Jesus had prepared before. He had already prayed. He had already, as an example, baptized, and the Spirit of God came down in the form of a dove and said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." God had already fortified him with a spirit of victory, the same spirit that each and every one of you have. Amen. Power. The Lord has given us power. Power over the temptation. And I love this. Power over the tempter.
Just where does temptation come from? You know, we may point at other people or other situations, but inevitably, it finally comes from the adversary. That's where all this disruption and confusion and all of that situation comes against a Christian. He's constantly trying to attack us. But here it says, when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. He was God, but he was in form of flesh. So his flesh would hunger. There is no temptation that is common that hasn't been done before. Basically, Jesus went through this. He felt the hunger pains just as you and I would. We often said that when he stumped his toe, he felt the pain just as you and I did. Why? Because he was the sacrificial lamb. He came in the form of a man. There had to be blood atonement, and he had to die on the cross of Calvary for our sins, not his. But in so doing, he was tempted, more so probably than any of us have ever been tempted. So here comes the tempter. And first thing he says, you know, you're able to turn these stones into bread. And Jesus was ready for it. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So I refer us back to what Paul was talking about. Again, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, not escape from the temptation, but escape through the temptation. Because he follows that up with, that ye may be able to bear it. Now, if I had been writing it, I'd probably left that last part off, but I didn't write it. Because bearing temptation is difficult sometimes. Sometimes it's a hardship. Sometimes it's a problem. But we have that before that. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape, a way to endure, a way to bear it, a way to overcome. How many knows that we're more than overcomers? In fact, we're more than conquerors through Christ, which strengthens us. So that bears out exactly what Jesus did. In fact, he was tempted three different times just as he came into the wilderness. But in each and every time, he was able, through the power of God, amen, to have a way of escape and able to bear or endure the temptation. So a child of God should never say, I can't make it through this. There's no way that I'm going to be able to survive this. Yes, you can. Through God, who will make a way. And you know what? It's all right to remind the adversary of that. In fact, you need to. You need to show him the authority in the name of Jesus. There is power over the tempter. Thank God for that. I mean, temptation itself is not the sin. Temptation is a prelude, is a drawing technique. It is the carrot dangling in front, trying to entice us, trying to cause us to get our eyes and our mind and our spiritual mind off of God and on the temptation. Every one of us, we're human. We have been tempted. The temptation of hunger, the temptation of power, the temptation of doing all things. All of this could be yours, Satan said. But the Lord had already prepared him to let him know that whatever the temptation is, I will, with God's help, be able to endure it. We know from the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah, he had just spoken in the 43rd chapter, verse 1, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Oh, I love this. These three words. Thou art mine. He's glad to know that we belong to God. We have been redeemed. If you've been redeemed, put your hands together and thank the Lord. And then he promises us. Now, my Bible says when, not if. Is that what yours says in verse 2? If changes things quite a bit. If gives us a possibility, well, we may not have to pass through waters. But the Bible says when thou passest through waters. Waters could be physical. Waters could be spiritual. waters could be a number of different things signifying we're drowning in something. But he says, what? I will be with thee. Aren't you thankful to know that there's no place that you can go that God will not be with us? And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. Not if, but when thou walkest through the fire. Mercy. You know, if I was in the fire, I don't know that I would walk. I might have a tendency to run, brother. I don't know. But understand that God would be with. Thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And then I want to go down to verse 18 and 19. Remember ye not the former things? Do you not remember what I've done before? Or consider the things of old? He said, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness. Using the most remote thing in the world as an analogy, I'll make a way even in the wilderness. May not be the wilderness journey from Egypt to Canaan land. How many knows when you start out as a Christian, you're in a wilderness. You're in a wilderness journey, but you're going to make it. Why? Because God will, amen, make a way. And I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Letting me know that God will put possibilities in the impossible places. God will make a way. Remember that. Highlight it. Go back. Understand what Paul was talking about. And I want you to, if you don't remember anything else that maybe I've talked about or said, just remember that, you know, the temptation comes, or the preparation for the temptation comes before, not after. If we wait, and I'll share this before I close, if we wait till after the temptation or after the hardship, then we're not as readily prepared. But if we prepare before it, even if things are going good for you, stay prepared, stay prayed up, stay read up, stay focused on the will of God. And then when temptations come, God says he will make a way that you will be able to bear it, or you will be able to endure it. I wished I could tell you you would never have to bear any. I wish I could tell you you'd never have to endure it. But that's not Bible. But the Bible says you can make it. Man, through God, all things are possible. Do you believe that tonight? You believe God is able to do anything? Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. God is able. Praise the Lord. And he will make a way. God bless you. We love you. Not going to keep you any longer. I feel like I've brought what the Lord laid upon my heart. If you would stand tonight, if anyone needs prayer, understand that we're here. Amen. Forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together, praying one for another. Any among you sick, let him call for the elders and anoint with oil and pray the prayer of faith. Amen. We believe that God is a healer. So if anyone needs prayer tonight, please come forward at this time and we'll pray with you. Well, we love you so very much. I would like to see the board members that are here for just a few minutes. I promise I will not be lengthy. I will be not near as long as I preach. I'll do it really concise and get the point across and let you get on out of here. God bless you. We love you. Be much in prayer for those who are sick. Brother Jim, come, dismiss us with a word of prayer. God will make a way.
Yes, he will. Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Praise God.
Praise God.
Love the Lord. Sure, surely love the word of God, and I love it. I even love our Wednesday night services, and I'm glad all y'all got to come. And for those of you watching online, I'm glad you were able to join us tonight. If you have a prayer request, please put it in the comment section or praise report. We love to hear the praise reports, and we know how active our God is. He is an on-time God. Praise the Lord. All hearts and minds clear? All righty. Well, let's be in much prayer for all the different activities going on this time of year. I know there are a lot of announcements going forth and preparations and the ministries and all through in this season as we go into fall and now into November and just getting really ready for the holidays. So our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to gather in your house and in your name. The Lord, as we prepare to part, dear Lord, we ask for your protection and your guidance in our lives, with our families, dear Lord, in each and every situation that we're in. We ask you to bring us back at our appointed time. Keep us safe. Lord, I ask you again just to bless each and every household. Lord, for the little ones in their class and for the teens, Lord, we just thank you for each and every one. And the Lord, we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. See y'all Sunday morning for Sunday school.
Everyone, remember, time changes this weekend. Yeah, it rolls back. You roll it back 1 hour.